You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, 101.1 FM in Eager, Arizona, broadcasting at 25 milliwatts of power, with studios broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation. Stay tuned now for the Hour of the Time with William Cooper. Yours truly. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm William Cooper, and you're listening once again to the Hour of the Time, the only hour that ever was or ever will be, the most important hour in your life, for during this hour, you will determine your future and thus our collective futures. Tonight is Thursday, ladies and gentlemen, so let's go directly to Phoenix for the Metal Report with Rob Westold. Good evening, Rob.
Good evening, Mr. Cooper. How are you this evening?
Just fine. How are you doing?
Pretty good, pretty good. I'm a little frustrated, a little angry, a little depressed.
What's going on?
Well, once again, I guess we decided that the last 4 years have been better than the previous four, and we want another four of them, I guess.
Ah, yes.
It's funny, already today I've received probably 200 calls from around the country, and nobody voted for him.
Isn't it amazing?
Who is out there who will admit to voting for the gentleman?
Well, I don't really know, because I don't know anyone who voted for him either.
Somebody must be. Either that or we have a larger problem on our hands than we even began to realize.
Yes, that's true.
To get back to the report, gold today closed at 378.90. It's up a dollar. It will probably continue to trade around this range until we hear what the IMF, or the International Monetary Fund, is going to do with some of their gold holdings. They are trying to raise an emergency fund, I've mentioned this a couple times, of in excess of $60 billion. Robert Rubin has committed to possibly selling off a percentage of our gold holdings to help with that. No one is saying what the emergency fund is for. As we've seen in the last couple weeks, the Mexico peso is dropping down dramatically in value.
Yeah, I was just going to say this certainly isn't for Mexico.
I'm beginning to think so. The way things are looking, and I wouldn't be surprised if within the next year or so, we're probably going to end up having the same situation to our neighbors to the north of us.
Yes.
They're obviously having some despairing times, too, with their economy there. Silver closed today at $4.82. It's up 12 cents. Platinum closed at $386.30, up $3.40 on the day. And the Dow Jones closed at 6206, which again is a record closing, up 28 points on the day. One of the comments I ran into an article out of it's called Investors Business Daily. They interviewed a well-known portfolio manager, but his name is Bill Berger. And one of his comments, he had some very interesting comments about the market in whole, and how a lot of his peers are now talking about buying lower quality stocks instead of the high ones because there's more profits to be made in those. And he said that this is the dogs are barking again, he states. I expect we will soon see people losing the bulk of their assets in this type of advice. He likens lower quality issues to running into more problems as they as you will continue to see almost a rubber band that is being pulled back further and further the larger this market builds, and sooner or later it's going to snap back real hard, he states. Since the companies that are reporting their funds or their investments, their returns right now, are like the sirens on the sides of the hills. Berger says they sing their song, encourage investors in, only to destroy them on the rocks. This summer, he expects, will bring a correction that nothing has compared to it in the past. He feels that the correction that we saw in 61 and 62, where IBM dropped down 40%, doesn't even compare to the cage rattler, he states, that's ahead of us. So there are still a lot of portfolio managers and economists are preparing themselves very, very quietly in building hedge funds, which again are a portion of your investments that are set aside to protect the more aggressive funds that you have right now. A hedge fund is nothing more against a hedge against inflation, and we're all familiar with those terms. But they're starting to brace themselves for the oncoming recession. Again, a lot of economists feel that this is a major problem. Derivatives has been the discussion and news as of late, too, this week. We haven't heard this term for a while, but a reporter out of Dow Jones News Services ran some excellent information and updates on just how much money in this world is invested into a form of derivatives. Says the GAO, which we all know what that is, cited an estimate by the Bank of International Settlements that the total amount of derivatives products outstanding worldwide is approximately $58 trillion. These are the type of investments that caused Orange County to literally default and go bankrupt, that have caused four school systems throughout this country to go bankrupt, that caused an entire township or community in Florida to go bankrupt, caused one of the oldest, largest banks in the world, Barings Bank in London, that we all read about, blamed on one rogue young trader who didn't have any experience, to go bankrupt, has caused approximately, from what I can get my hands on, about six of the last eight finance or bank defaults in Japan. And again, these forms or derivatives are such a complicated formula that even if you are told that you've lost through this, it's virtually impossible to track back, figure out how you did it. So there's very little accountability in this type of investment.
Who's trying to be accountable?
Exactly. Well, that's not the name of the game when it comes to greed and graft.
You better believe it.
Just a matter of how I can fill my pockets, not about what's going to happen tomorrow or with anyone else around me. Now, there was an interesting article, too, that came out of London this week on the world population growth and how it's going to match up with food or grain growth in the next 20 to 25 years. Now, this one study group is expecting, of course, they're using the wonderful term by the millennium, which I'm already so tired of hearing, but they're predicting that within the next 20 to 25 years, the world's population will increase by at least 50% minimum. They expect the food or the ability to feed that amount of people to only increase 15 to 20%. Some interesting figures. I'll let your people and you interpret that as to what we should do. I know a lot of people are prepared with food stores and other things. Now, they cite that obviously the growing influence in Asia is putting an enormous demand on grain and animal feed alone. They are also concerned about how poorly Europe and Asia are in their farming implements. If you've gone or heard of anybody who's traveled to the Soviet Union, the productivity over there is very, very behind.
Well, let me ask you something, Rob. If that's true, where is all this rice coming from? My wife is Chinese, and we buy 25-pound, 50-pound bags of rice from Asia all the time. I mean, Our market here is flooded with Asian rice. Somebody's lying to somebody somewhere.
Well, do you suppose this is mostly an American outlook? And again, they're just tracking foods that...
No, you want to know the truth? I think it's pure BS. Propaganda. It's to create this millennium fever that everything is failing, everything's crashing down, disaster here, disaster there, we're running out of food, the population is getting too big, the ozone layer is disappearing, the global warming is got us, I could go on for an hour.
Well, like you said, this spring.
It paralyzes people.
Oh, they're looking at horrible wheat crops. The corn crops are going to be terrible. They're devastated because of late frosts and on and on and on. And now when it comes time for those farmers to harvest their crops, what's gone down within the last 3 weeks? The prices and the commodities markets of all the grains.
Yeah, you know why? Because they're bringing in more corn and more grain than they have in years.
Mm-hmm.
It's unbelievable. The market is swamped with American grain.
It's just a shame that when the farmers start their markets off, commodities are skyrocketing. The purchaser, or the man in control, makes a fortune. And then when it comes time for our farmers to harvest, prices drop significantly, and once again, the man that's pulling the fruit out of the ground for us is hurt the worst.
Yes, that's true. However, if the demand for grain is so high in other countries with NAFTA and GATT, why are the prices falling? Why doesn't the demand in other countries keep it up? See, somebody is lying to everybody. I mean, this is all just a big manipulation. I don't know exactly what it's designed to do except keep people in a perpetual state of fear and anticipation of some kind of a end of the world scenario, which is what this millennium fever is all about. But it just is, none of it's true. It just isn't true.
Mm-hmm. There was an article out of Washington, D.C. this week, too, from the Baltimore Sun that did an investigative response to a lot of allegations that have been brought about why the CIA is all of a sudden getting so national. They're having a much more of a national appearance when they're supposed to be. At least I believe their original, you can probably correct me on this, but their original charter, from what I understand, was for international purposes.
Yes.
And the FBI is chartered for national purposes, and the NSA.
Well, did you know that the FBI has offices in Moscow and many other countries, and they have an international law enforcement school where they are training their FBI counterparts from foreign countries and foreign nations?
Yes, you've made me aware of that.
This globalism is no joke. This New World Order is not a joke, and the American people are sound asleep. They have no conception of what's going to happen to them if they don't wake up and stop this and save this country. They're going to go down the tubes faster than a roller coaster ride, and it's not going to be with the thrilling parts.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be with the terrible consequences and a lot of fear and destitution.
Uh-huh.
Do you realize with the market at the level that it's at, If those stocks were really valued, if those companies were really valued at that level, if everybody sold their stock for that price, there's not enough money in the world to buy their stock?
Oh, even a small percentage couldn't even be paid back.
So where does all this come from? This is absolutely phony. It's unbelievable. There has to be worth to represent the value of the stock somewhere. It's not there.
And again, keep in mind, when a large portfolio manager buys stocks, he's doing it just like people buy a home. He's putting about 5% down in actual cash value,
mm-hmm.
and buying a block of stocks worth, let's say, if he puts $5,000 down, he's virtually buying a group of stocks in essence of $100,000.
That's called leveraging, and that's what caused the Great Depression back in the 1920s. And when people, when the market began to fall and people could not meet their margin calls, the whole thing collapsed.
Mm-hmm. That's why I'm very, very cautious about the average investor that has a 80 to 95% of his investment dollar into mutual funds, because again, all of us are well aware that those mutual funds, they're not taking your $3,000 and buying $3,000 worth of stocks. They're leveraging that $3,000 in a group purchasing or non-segregated funds, where they're mixing your funds in with a whole lot of other people's funds and buying a tremendous amount of stock leveraged.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if even a small percentage of people start to liquidate their mutual funds and call their brokers and say, I want my money, you're going to find it's not there.
Yeah. But it amazes me that people would go into a mutual fund that doesn't charge any membership fee. There's no load. There's no commission. Basically, they're getting a free ride. And you scratch your head and look at them and say, hey, these people are making millions of dollars. Where's this money coming from?
Well, a lot of times you'll find in the small print, and it's something you'll have to pull out of your own manager or whoever handles those accounts. No loads and no commissions, you'll find that they charge what's known as a management fee.
Mm-hmm.
And it can be anywhere from a half to as much as a percent, I have found. And generally, it's per month. Well, even if we look at a half percent per month per year, that's 6% a year.
Sure.
If your mutual fund, and they'll show it as a return, a lot of times on their prospectus, showed a 15% return this year. Well, by the time you subtract 6% of that away from that, all of a sudden it doesn't look too pretty.
No, it doesn't. And
minimum.
And these people really believe that they're getting a free ride. Nobody gets a free ride.
Nobody. But the what they stated in this article about the CIA is that they're actually using global satellites, which we all are well aware of, to pick up phone calls. Agents inside foreign governments and U.S. spies posing as businessmen abroad. What they're doing with this information now is helping out certain defense contractors and other forms of businessmen now, because they can actually pick up conversations that, let's say, Korea is having with a manufacturer somewhere else in the world, and find out what type of dollars and everything and what type of purchases they're talking about, and then use that information, or again, they stated in here that this is just a different kind of insider information for the marketplace.
It's called information warfare.
They're using it in a business to call up an employer and say, hey, this has just been made the other day. It says in here, look, you might have a better shot at the contract if you sweeten your bid just a little with the South Korean company. And they stated the name. But they usually do it in a very unveiled fashion, or veiled fashion, obviously.
Well, mm-hmm.
I'm kidding. The other thing I've been watching lately is lumber prices have been surging, and they're blaming it all. And again, this is a form of manipulation, like you said. They're blaming the prices skyrocketing here all on Canadian restrictions. Most of the Canadian lumber mills right now met their quota last March, and they're still cutting wood.
Mm-hmm.
The Canadian government is assessing fines and everything else, and they're talking about literally chopping off some of these companies where they're not going to be able to, well, what would it be called, lumber or bring wood out of the forest next year at all. They're talking about right now it's going to cause an immediate increase in a U.S. home of around, a typical home of around $2,000.
This is, it's absolutely ridiculous. And all this spotted owl business is ridiculous. This is all a deception. There isn't one lumber company that I know of that doesn't plant four trees every time they chop one down. And, of course, they're looking to the regrowth in future years to be able to lumber. And all of this environmental nonsense is just totally out of hand. Back in the 20s, the game and the herds of deer and elk and antelope were just devastated. The forests had been cut back so bad that there were huge expanses of open land. And over those years, the private corporations and the people who owned the land and the hunting organizations got together and said, hey, we got to do something about this. And the forests that we have today are there because lumber companies planted those trees and brought the forest back from the devastation of the late 1800s and early part of this century. And the great herds of elk and deer and antelope that exist in this country now and the other game animals exist because of private citizens who got together and because of states who recognized the problem and brought them all back. And they're trying to fool us that that we haven't done anything and that we're endangering the forests and all of the animals, when the truth is they wouldn't be there if it wasn't for the common man, the hunters and the fishermen and the lumber companies and people who own private property who have done all of this stuff. My God, look at what happened back in the Dust Bowl days in Oklahoma, and look at Oklahoma now. I mean, there's a lake almost every 4 miles in Oklahoma, and that is all done by the people who live in Oklahoma, who didn't want to see Dust Bowl days again.
Right.
And they've got environmentalists in Oklahoma telling them that they're destroying the environment, when they've done more in Oklahoma to preserve the environment than probably any place else in the world. This is, it's beyond comprehension that people buy into this blathering BS when all they have to do is sit down and look up the true facts and see that they're being taken for a ride big time.
They sure are.
As long as there's sunshine in the heavens and as long as there's oxygen in the atmosphere, there can't possibly be any reduction in the ozone layer, because light from the sun interacting with oxygen molecules in the atmosphere is what produces ozone. And it's not an ozone layer. It is known as the ionosphere, where the ionization of molecules take place. And, these people are insane. And the people that listen to them are insane. What are we going to do about it, Rob?
I would say support programs like yourself. At least causing a line of division.
That's exactly what I wanted to hear, but I wasn't expecting to hear it.
And again, I've seen in my own life and in people that surround me that I would call friends, that it's, and I rarely talk like this, but it's very difficult for people to put their money where their mouth is and to show an actual representation of their appreciation. And it takes that. It takes people standing up and saying, I'm going to go more than more. I'm glad I heard this on that program the other night. I'm going to call and I'm going to expect and I'm going to do some things. I'm going to get a little more active. Now, we heard a tremendous indictment on the American citizens this morning when they said barely, 49% of the American public showed up to vote?
Yes. And now, wait a minute. That's not 49% of the American public. That's 49% of the registered voters.
Registered voters.
And the registered voters are probably less than 49% of the American public.
That's a very good point. And that makes it even worse of a number, really.
Yes. What really amazed me was a few years ago, I forget how many, but it couldn't have been more than, it was the last mayoral election in Los Angeles, California. Only 10% of the registered voters in Los Angeles actually voted in the mayoral election.
Yeah, with that kind of a turnout, we might as well just say or send in letters to our government, please just take over this everything.
Well, I'll tell you, I'm disgusted. If I could find a real alien who had a real flying saucer, if there were such things, who would take me somewhere else to start a whole new civilization, I'd go that quick. I wouldn't even think about it. I'd just hop right in there, grab my kids and my wife, and we'd be off. Excuse me, children.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry, Pooh. Pooh was running in here to tell me that she's not a kid. Kids are baby goats. Right, Pooh?
Uh-huh.
I apologize to you, Pooh, and to all the other children in the world. She's absolutely right.
But it's really going to take every one of us, and there's always a small percentage of people that have a backbone and that are able to do things and that will put their wallets in place and their hands into writing letters and their mouth over the telephones and whatever else they need to do to take a stance.
That's Jackie Petru. You've just described her to a T. That's the broadcast that's before me. Remember the night you called in and said you called in and all you could hear was a tape, so you hung up.
Sometimes call in early. I can listen to her because she's quite a lady.
Oh, she's great. She is great, and she has a great program. Well, what else is happening, Rob?
That's pretty much it. There's two little side notes. One of them your listeners are probably aware of. Another one is the Securities Exchange Commission, which is the watchdog over the stock market, is talking about loosening the electronic or computer tripwires that we've all heard about that have been placed. They're talking about literally doing away with them. Well, that's interesting, because what a quicker way to bring a tremendous transfer of wealth.
That means we're getting close to the end.
Now, they are set now for if it falls more than 250 points,
mm-hmm.
trading in all the stock markets and related stocks, futures markets will be halted for a half hour. After a 400-point decline, the markets and all related markets shut down for an hour. Now they're talking about literally doing away with those because they feel it's not necessary anymore, and they were set up on percentages of drops from the 1987 crash.
Here it comes.
It should be very interesting. The other thing is a side note from a group of, almost a lobbying group, I guess I could say loosely, but this came out of the magazine called Numismatic News,
uh-huh.
a group called ICTA, which is the Industry Council for Tangible Assets. They are also a sort of self-governing group that is a watchdog over gold and silver bullion and numismatic coin brokerages like ourselves here. And it's a matter of voluntarily joining this organization, but they will monitor phone calls. They set up dummy phone calls. They monitor literature that you're sending out. They're an excellent group. They were responsible for pushing 15 years ago the acceptance of numismatic coins or collectibles, sometimes the government refers to them as an investment in self-directed individual retirement accounts or IRAs and KIOs. Lasted for a little bit of a time, and then the government threw them out again. But in 1990, we saw this happen. ICTA is pushing very, very strong in the last year. There is the Supra IRA funding bill that is still to be taken off the floor, and something has to be done with it. They've pretty much put off voting on it for the last year, and it's obvious with the financial problems they're having in our government. But this coming year, they will be pushing very hard and looking at finally putting coins back into the IRAs and KIRAs. One of the things that they're really pushing for is just equity and fairness treatment of the rare coin industry and how it must be taken in general or as a whole as an investment, like any other investment. If that should happen, they're predicting, and a lot of people are very concerned with, if that should happen, you could see the market explode very quickly, like we saw back in the 70s and also in 89 and 90 when this topic first came up. In 89 and 90, it was almost passed and approved. And some of the market jumped really from as much as 400% to 900% within a period of 3 to 6 months.
Wow.
So that's a possibility that we might be seeing in the oncoming, I would say, probably 6 to 8 months when things start to calm down a little and our Congress starts to settle in again after this election. The other thing that you could probably are well aware of and we'll probably discuss, but half of Clinton's cabinet seems to have walked out, and I sure would like to be a fly on the wall in that room. I'd love to know whether they have been actually let go of. I find it hard to believe that these top dogs.
No, I don't think they want to be in there and be responsible when Clinton does what he's going to do in these next 4 years. I think they're afraid of the American people. They've seen the anger that resulted from the Waco massacre and the murder of Vicki Weaver at Ruby Ridge and what's been happening all over the country. And the lies that the federal government has told the people about the bombing in Oklahoma City, which we've exposed in Oklahoma City Day 1, every single page thoroughly documented with many, many, many sources and tremendous documentation and eyewitness accounts. It's just
up here on my desk.
It's amazing. What do you think about it?
It's excellent.
Anything unless we do it right. I learned that many years ago by trying to get by doing things halfway, and it never works. You got to do it right, and you got to do it well, or it just shouldn't do it at all. So that's what we try to do. Thank you. That's a great compliment, and I'm sure Michelle is listening, and I'm sure that her cheeks are glowing.
Oh, it's a testament and a very, very. I was very proud the minute I picked the book up. It made me feel good inside. It just the outward look and appearance, and then reading and seeing everything backed up with facts. There isn't a lot of jargon or just rhetoric. It is all just right down to the truth, and very, very well done. Very well laid out. It's very easy reading, but it is all obviously factual. And it's just, I was very, very impressed. I'm very proud to see something this well done.
Well, thank you, Rob. Do you know if Craig got his copy yet?
He's got it.
Wonderful. Great. Oh, I wanted to ask you, has Craig done a new newsletter yet?
It's at the printers. We are supposed to get it back within this week. In fact, I was supposed to receive 10,000 copies this afternoon, and they are not here. I was promised either late today or tomorrow.
Would you do me a favor and make sure that one gets fired up to me real quick?
I sure will.
Thank you. And you heard that, folks. The new newsletter for Swiss America Trading is out, and if you've been receiving the newsletter for the last few years, you know that this is dynamite stuff. You've got to get a copy of that newsletter. And all you got to do is call Rob and ask him for a copy, and he'll certainly send you one. Why don't you tell him how to go about that, Rob?
You're welcome to reach me at 800. It's toll-free, 1-800-289-2646. If you ask for my extension, 2139, they'll shoot you right into my office without asking any questions. And all I need simply is your name and a mailing address there, and I'll be glad to get you one off. One of the main themes of this newsletter is the numbing of America. And you and I have talked about it in the last 15 or 20 minutes, where we seem to be torn between apathy, almost some of my comments when we started the program, a little bit of depression. And some of the voters in this country were interviewed today as saying that, you know, they don't feel that they make a difference anymore. And so it talks a little bit about that and poses a question of what has happened to us as individuals and as a society, and what can we do to change it.
Well, those are good questions, and it's something that we'd better find an answer to. People better get in touch with themselves because we're in big trouble.
But I'll be glad to get that out to any of your listeners. It's free of charge. There's nothing involved there, and there's no, I'm not going to call you back, or nothing will be expected of you. I'd be glad to get it out to you. It's just a service to you.
And Craig's a great writer, too, isn't he?
He is. He wrote the opening article on this.
Yeah. Okay, great. Anything else you want to cover, Rob?
That's it this week.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Cooper.
And we'll see you again next Thursday night.
I look forward to it.
1-800-289-2646, folks. Call now. You know how you are. You're procrastinators, just like me and everybody else. We try to get by, you know, putting things off, and it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Call now. 1-800-289-2646. Ask for the newsletter. And while you're there, thank them for sponsoring the Hour of the Time and for backing the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network. Without Swiss American Trading, you wouldn't be listening to any of this programming, ladies and gentlemen. So do that. 1-800-289-2646. It's important. And if you live in Eager, Arizona, and you'd like to get your hands on the book, Oklahoma City Day One by Michelle Marie Moore, with a foreword by William Cooper, the man that President Clinton described in a White House memo as the most dangerous radio host in America. If you don't believe that, Rush Limbaugh read it on the air so that he could shift the blame off of his own shoulders, that little chicken plucker. But, you know, what do you expect from a guy that sits on half his brain? Don't go away. I'll be right back.
It seems real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming on to the USA. To the shore of me, not so right. I'm just staying home tonight. I'll get lost in that hopeless little screen. But I'll discover that those garbage bags of time cannot be gained. I'm joking, but I'm still holding up this little wild bouquet. Democracy is coming to the USA.
Oh, boy, I bet you haven't heard that before. V.I. Lennon, you know who he is. V.I. Lennon. He was the high muckety-muck that established the Soviet Union. And from him, Stalin took control. But, ladies and gentlemen, V.I. Lennon made the statement that democracy is indispensable to socialism. Haven't you ever wondered why everybody who refers to the United States of America or to our government or to our political process is now calling it a democracy? And you know what's even more disturbing than that? You're buying it. It's like you never knew anything about your country. What is the matter with you? This is a constitutional republic. This is a constitutional republic. This is a constitutional republic. Repeat after me. This is a constitutional republic. It is not a democracy, never was, never should be. But if the socialists get their way, it will be, because that's what leads directly to socialism, dictatorship. Don't believe it? Study history, something that most of you don't know anything about. He who does not learn from history is doomed to repeat it. This is a constitutional republic. How many of you have been listening to the news broadcast where constitutionists are now being declared as domestic terrorists? Who says so? The Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith, the Southern Poverty Law Center, all of the socialist organizations in this country and in the world. Why? Because they can't have their one-world totalitarian socialist government unless the Constitution is destroyed. That's why. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land. If you are an American and you revere the law, you must be a constitutionist. Oh. Are the lights coming on now? Oh, brother. Now you know why William Clinton calls me the most dangerous radio host in America, is because I tell the truth, and I'll rub it up your nose until you wake up. Stop being sheeple and become Americans again. Americans who live in a constitutional republic. And I think next week we're going to start talking about the Constitution a lot. I meet people every day tell me they're Americans. Really? Do you love your country? Oh, yes, Mr. Cooper, I love my country. Oh. And, of course, you believe in the Constitution, the Bill of Rights. Oh, yes, absolutely. Tell me, what is contained in Article 1 of the Constitution for the United States of America? You don't have to be specific. Just give me a general answer. I can see right through this microphone, right through the airwaves, and right out the speaker of the radio that you're listening to me with. I see you squirming in your seats because most of you can't do that. Don't you think that's absolutely incredible that the people in the world who scream the most about their constitutional rights don't even know what the Constitution says. Can't even give a general description of what's in Article 1, or Article 2, or Article 3, or Article 4, or Article 5, or Article 6, or Article 7. You're waiting for me to say Article 8? There is no Article 8. When I ask most people what their rights are, they say, oh, what's something vague about freedom of speech? The separation of church and state, which, by the way, the Constitution says nothing about, nothing whatsoever. Amazing, isn't it? I think it's astounding. Absolutely astounding. I know many men who knew every player who ever played for the New York Yankees. They even know their jockstrap size. They know every statistic that every one of those players ever accumulated. They know everything about their life, where they were born, what school they went to, how they got into baseball, how old they were, exactly to the month when they joined the major leagues. Yet they can't tell me what the third article in amendment to the Constitution, which is the third article of the Bill of Rights, says. They don't even know that there's a preamble to the Bill of Rights. Isn't that amazing? Yet the first thing anybody says when you make them angry, or when they think they're being picked on, is, I have my rights. What rights? Where does it say you have any rights? What does it say those rights are? Well, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't say anywhere that you have any rights in the Constitution. That's taken for granted. Because that was all spelled out in the Declaration of Independence, which is more accurately named the Unanimous Declaration of the 13 Colonies. The Constitution limits government. It grants to government certain limited powers and spells out exactly what those powers are, and the rest of it limits the government. Doesn't say anything in there about your rights. The Bill of Rights protects your creator-endowed rights that were first spelled out in the Unanimous Declaration known to most of you as the Declaration of Independence. How about that? You don't have any constitutional rights. There is no such thing. You have creator-endowed rights recognized by our founding fathers and protected and enshrined in the Constitution for the United States of America and the Bill of Rights. Why is it that you call yourself an American and you don't know this? Bill Clinton doesn't want you to know it. He's a screaming Marxist, socialist, communist, subversive who's destroying this country. So is his wife, Hillary. It's the first androgynous president, therefore we call him Billary. The government is not doing us wrong, ladies and gentlemen. The government is the Constitution for the United States of America, the Bill of Rights, and the amendments thereto. It is people in government who are not only doing us wrong, but they are subverting the Constitution and destroying our constitutional republic from within, intentionally, with knowledge aforethought, and with extreme malice. And it is no secret, for they have documented it for many years, that they are about creating a one-world totalitarian socialist government upon the ashes of the United States of America. I cringed every time I saw the election commercials for Bob Dole. How short the memory of the American people really is. I kept seeing these commercials. Vote for Bob Dole. Bob Dole keeps his word. Now, if anybody was giving an award for the biggest lie of the century, that would have had to have taken it, ladies and gentlemen. For Bob Dole has never kept his word. Bob Dole is one of the biggest liars in Washington, D.C. Remember, he promised us that NAFTA would not be passed. He promised us that he would stop it in the Senate. Next thing I know, he's standing in the Rose Garden with President Clinton and a few other lying traitors, saying how they had reached an agreement to pass NAFTA. And then came GATT, and he assured us that GATT would not pass because it would take American jobs away from Americans. He promised us it would not pass. Not only did it pass, but the only reason it passed was because of Bob Dole's support. Bob Dole lied to us again, and again we saw him standing in the Rose Garden with the president as they announced their agreement to push GATT through. And then Bob Dole stood up at his acceptance speech at the Republican National Convention and railed against the World Trade Organization. He said that it was a bad organization and he was going to get rid of it because it was interfering in American sovereignty and taking American jobs. Ladies and gentlemen, it was Bob Dole who gave us the World Trade Organization. It was Bob Dole who pushed it through the Senate. It was Bob Dole who told us that it was going to be good for us after he betrayed us, after having promised us that he would not allow it to be passed. And if you look back through Bob Dole's history, his whole political history, he has done the same thing repeatedly over and over and over and over again. At least William Clinton is honest about what he's going to do and what he believes in. He's a Marxist socialist. But at least he lets us know that. Bob Dole is a Marxist socialist who tries to pretend he's not. That's amazing. And now that you've all been sitting there waiting in Eager, Arizona, where you can purchase the book, Oklahoma City Day One, and I intentionally left you hanging. You can buy it at Stewart's Books in Springerville. In fact, you'll see a copy in the window. It's the one with the glossy black cover, deep jet black cover with the blood red rose rising like the phoenix from the flames. It will open your eyes. It is thoroughly documented, sourced, and is indisputable fact. If you really want to know what happened in Oklahoma City on April the 19th, 1995, read it. Stewart's Books in Springerville. It's also in bookstores all over Oklahoma City where it's causing quite a stir, I can assure you. The cockroaches once again are running for cover, trying to hide back in the corners and under the refrigerator and behind the drain pipes under the sink. They can't hide because we have a spotlight brighter than the sun, and we have directed it to them. There was at the Oklahoma City Memorial Service, they were so arrogant. One of the musical selections is named Sheep May Safely Graze. And of course, The sheep will never need any encouragement to do that. What the sheep will don't realize is that if we're not successful in our efforts of awaking the sheeple so that they can become real people, the caretakers of the New World Order will be feasting on lamb chops. Or is that sheeple chops? I can't take credit for that. Ken Moulton is here visiting. He just handed me this on a piece of paper and it was irresistible. I had to read it to you. You see, sheep are always led to the shearing pens, and then the Judas goat is loosed, and he leads them to the slaughterhouse. So if you're a sheeple, I urge you, think about that. Awaken. Stop believing what you're told. Investigate. Learn the true facts of what's going on in this world, and become a real people. And do it now, folks. It's almost too late. Good night, and God bless each and every single one of you. This is the Voice of Freedom. You're listening to the Worldwide Freedom Radio Network, 101.1 FM, Eager, Arizona, with studios in Eager, broadcasting on satellite GE1, transponder 7, 7.56 audio, and over 700 FM stations across the nation. Stay tuned now for Quest for Health with Michael Cottingham.